Joining me now is Vivian Sauter. She's the events and engagement manager at Sight for Surrey. Now, this is an organisation I know nothing about, but I'm sure Vivian's actually going to explain it all. Morning, Vivian.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. I'm very well. Sight for Surrey. Not only do I not know very much about you guys, I'm also told it's your 100th year as well. So you've clearly been around a lot longer than most people think. Yeah. And certainly longer than, I didn't even know you existed. So Tell us a little bit, how did it come into being in the first place?
Yes, so we're called Sight for Surrey today, but we haven't always been called that. When we first formed back in 1922, we were the Surrey Voluntary Association for the Blind. So this was back when we were formed to help people who were returning from war with a vision impairment from the First World War. And so from then, we've kind of been supporting people ever since with their need to kind of overcome day-to-day challenges. So at that time, it was helping people make sure that they could keep their house warm and could get funding to be able to work and that kind of thing. And today we do similar things. We provide support for people through different resources, and we support over 8,000 people today, not just vision impaired and blind, but we also support people who are deaf blind and hard of hearing as well. So we are a sensory service now, supporting a huge amount of people within Surrey's borders. And a huge amount of what we do is bringing people together and making people feel empowered to be able to live their day-to-day life in an independent way. So we're really excited that we're 100 this year, but as you say, it's one of those things when people don't know about you, but you've been around for so long. So a big aim of this year is to make people aware about us and shout about what we do and why we need the support as a local charity of local people, local businesses, local organisations who can help us to develop and build into the next 100 years as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hell of a range of challenges loaded in there for the various different things that you actually deal with. But the one thing that struck me about all of that is your organisation was around before the NHS.
Yeah, it is interesting, really. We were formed as a voluntary group, so members of the community coming together, and there was a Blind Act which was passed, and that in 1920, and that sort of pushed for local councils and local groups to take responsibility in helping the people who were vision impaired and blind within their areas, and it became something that councils were needed to do. So we've continued to do that, but it is interesting that that provision wasn't there at all before, and as you say, preceding the NHS as well. So it is really significant, actually, that we're 100 years old and that we've been doing this for so long. It just kind of proves that we're getting better and better at it, and our experts, they are so expert and they're specialists within their areas, that we are the only, proudly the only charity within Surrey that covers this remit. So we are the go-to for anyone who's experiencing vision loss or hearing loss as well. So Sight for Surrey and Sensory Services by Sight for Surrey are the place that you need to go.
And of course, it's one of those organisations that most people wouldn't know about unless they had one of those impairments, either, you know, partially sighted, as you said, blind, deaf, blind, which I can't begin to imagine how you deal with that. I think it's a fantastic thing. So, I mean, the skills are obviously much, much greater than they were 100 years ago. The technology available today makes, I'm guessing, a lot more possible.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. And we have an IT trainer here, Gary, who takes individual meetings with people to assess them and give them the help that they need to be able to implement Amazon Alexa, for example, into their lives, or to make sure they've got the right tech equipment and the right apps that are out there to really make the technology that is around at the minute the most accessible as possible for someone with a vision impairment. And so, as I said, Alexas, they have been life-changing, really, for people with a vision impairment, because it's all done, obviously, by voice command. And that is just really fundamental to helping, you know, make a shopping list or set a timer. And those small things that can really make an impact in somebody's day if it's not easy to do. Now, you know, just by saying a few words, you can change your day, really. So there is a lot of tech out there, and our teams here are fully versed in knowing what the range is available out on the market. And we've got a resource centre here at our offices in Fetcham, and we have over 300 different pieces of equipment to help, from flashing doorbells, so if somebody has hearing loss or is deaf, they can obviously know if somebody's at the front door by the flash. We've got equipment that's a talking watch, talking clocks, giant Scrabble. There really is a huge range of different resources
out there. Love the giant Scrabble.
Yeah, I mean, you always need to be able to play Scrabble if you want to. You don't want that to have to stop you if you're struggling with your eyesight. So, yeah, it's really important that people know that we've got this resource in the heart of Surrey, really. And we do take people and appointments for people to come and see our specialists so that they can know what's right for them, because there are hundreds of magnifiers on the market, for example, but one might be better for you than the other for what you need. So having that assistance in choosing the equipment that's right for you or your family member is really crucial.
Well, that's like anybody that wears glasses and anybody that wears spectacles for any and has worn them for any length of time will know exactly what you're talking about with that. I'm actually amazed, because you said it's over 8,000 people make use of your services. How many people are there involved in running this organization?
Yeah, so our staff base is just around 120, and that ranges from obviously our CEO and our in-office teams, but we've got so many people who work, for example, a communicator guide, and they work out within the community helping somebody do their shopping, taking them to a cafe. And there's so many members of the team that do such specific and skilled work. Aside from, also, we've got a whole huge base of volunteers as well. We've got over 100 volunteers. And this year we were lucky enough to be awarded with the Queen's Award for the Voluntary Service. So that's something that we're really thrilled about in our 100 years as well. So, but we're always looking for new volunteers, for people to give someone a ring on the phone. If somebody's not able to get out and about, having a phone befriender can make a difference to their day hugely. So what we do is very broad, and the people who help us do it, is they have such a broad skill set that we need every single one to make what we do work.
Yeah, I'm amazed every time I talk to somebody from one of the organisations that's involved in what you can only describe as pretty much essential services, and how much in this country we rely on the goodness of people through their charitable donations and their work through charities and stuff. Yours is, in fact, a charity. As you've mentioned, you've got hundreds of volunteers. How do you fund yourselves through all of this?
Yeah, so we have a lot of charitable services. We do work closely with Surrey County Council to do, as you say, the fundamentals. And we, from a charity perspective, we do need to raise a huge amount of money to make sure that we can provide, as I spoke about, the IT trainer, Gary. He is completely charity funded. So for people to be able to come in and see him and make use of his services, we need fundraisers to get behind us and take on challenges and talk to their own businesses about how they can support local charities. Our work within the community as well is fully charity based. So our community engagement teams, they go out to community centres, to care homes, chatting to people who are likely to need our help or who don't know about us again, and getting our name out there is a huge part of what they do. And we've got a really active children's team as well, our Children and Young People Service. We fund for their recreational activities, so being able to go skydiving if they wanted, or they've been abseiling, they've been go-karting. Honestly, they are so proactive and so enthusiastic about challenges and something that is really tricky, or something that somebody on the street might say, oh, you can't do that because you've got a vision impairment. They are so empowered to go out and do something, and they're such advocates for our work, and it's really brilliant to be able to enable them to have those experiences. And without the support of local people fundraising for us, we wouldn't be able to provide that service at all.
Yeah, it never ceases to amaze me how people with various different difficulties that most people would seem would think are unsurmountable actually just shrug it off and just get on with it. It never ceases to amaze me, and a lot of that is down to the support of organisations like yours. Now, as you mentioned, it's a you've got a whole team out there raising money, but you also go out and you have events, don't you? And I do believe you've got a cricket match coming up with a difference.
We do, absolutely. So we've had a huge number of events this year for our centenary, and the one coming up on the 18th of September is our Cricket Fun Day. Mm-hmm. So we're hosting this at Oxted and Limpsfield Cricket Club, and it's a day which is going to hopefully bring people in the community together, people with a sensory impairment and also people without. So it's starting the day at 10:30, and that is with a chance to get involved with some VI cricket workshops. So run by Surrey County Cricket, they are hosting a vision impairment workshop of vision impaired cricket, so using the adapted equipment. So they've got some cricket balls that have bells in them, and when I went to see a workshop recently, for example, something that's a little bit different is in a warm-up drill, somebody was there kind of tapping on the stumps as people were running up and down the strip, so that as they were getting closer to the end, they would be able to know if they're not able to see the stumps by the sound of the tapping. So there are lots of different ways in which the warm up and the games kind of adapted through equipment, but at the end of the day, it's still the same cricket that we know and love. So anybody is invited to come and join in with that. And then at 1 p.m. we've got a cricket match between England Deaf Cricket Association for the Deaf. They are a team that's kind of spread all across the country, and they will be playing at the local Oxted and Limpsfield team. And excitingly, the England Deaf Cricket team captain, and they just won the Ashes actually for the first time in June, in Australia, bringing that back to England. He's going to be joining us for the game. That's George Greenway. And so it should be a really nail-biting competitive match, actually. So I implore people to come down. If you're interested in cricket or if you're not, we're going to have an ice cream van. We've got a barbecue. We've got a raffle. We've got our smoothie bike. We've got different cricket games and activities to get involved in. So it should be a really great community feel fundraising event that's helping us in our 100 years so that we can help more vision impaired, blind, deaf blind and hard of hearing people as we go on.
Yeah, I mean, That actually sounds like a wonderful, wonderful day out. And, let's hope lots of people get to that one. Just very quickly, where is it again?
So it's at Oxted and Limpsfield Cricket Club. Mm-hmm. And it's on Sunday, the 18th of September, from 10:30 until 5 p.m. And anybody can come along, get involved, have a nice day out with the family and help out a local charity.
Yeah, that's sightforsurrey.org.uk as well. I do believe you can find all the stuff on your website there. Now, one thing that we haven't talked about is probably the hardest thing of all that you guys must deal with, because you mentioned people with sight issues, partially blind, totally blind, people who are hard of hearing and deaf. But there are some who are both, which is blind and deaf. How do you deal with that? I mean, it's a serious, serious thing, this. And I'm just wondering, how on earth do you deal with something like that? Because to somebody who can hear well and can see reasonably okay, it seems a bit of a mystery.
Sure. So, as you say, some of the people we support are deafblind, so experience some hearing and some sight loss. So it can be on a range. Everyone's experience of sensory loss is very individual to themselves. So some people might have some severe loss, but some people might not have such a severe loss. But there are a number of ways in which we support those people. We have a friendship group, which is a community group that we run, where people who are deafblind can come together and they do activities such as very tactile crafts, but it can be from that to going for a walk around and going to a lake. So having that social time with people who have a shared experience to you, that's really important. But from a communication point of view, they often use hands-on signing. So that's a form of British Sign Language, but is kind of performed on hand to hand. So we have many interpreters who we work with who are skilled in hands-on signing, who are able to interpret what anybody is saying and to communicate that with the individual so that they are still within the community. And it's really key that we have these roles out there and that people are aware of it so that people don't feel isolated at home, because it's not a very accessible world out there really when you are deafblind. So having somebody there at your side who is helping you get from A to B and is able to communicate with you, with other people, that support is really essential for you to live an independent life and to actually be able to do the things that you want to do. And that's really our whole ethos, is making sure that people can do what they want to do, but just with the support that is necessary for that.
Yeah, well, thank you for explaining that to us. As I say, it was one of those things that is certainly, it's shrouded in mystery for most of us. And I think you've helped to try and explain and make it a little more understandable. It's Vivian Salter I'm talking to from Sight for Surrey Sensory Services. Website is sightforsurrey.org.uk. They have a cricket match coming up, which be good if you could attend, because they need the funds and they're trying to raise funds. There are lots and lots of other events that they're taking place. That one is, Sunday the 18th?
Yes, that's correct.
Of September at the Oxted Cricket Ground?
Yep, Oxted and Limpsfield Cricket Ground.
There we go.
We look forward
to
it.
Well, it's been good to talk to you today, Vivian. Thank you for that. We wish you well on this.
Thank you.
Hopefully you'll come back and talk some more about this subject and maybe one or two other events that you've got coming up. But for now, Vivian Salter, thank you for talking to us.
Thanks so much.